How many of you love the Lord? Boy, I do. And I'm a little full this morning from that. Just those children gathered around us and showing them Jesus. And boy, let me tell you what a joy that was. It was a joy. And I'm just full from that. It was a realm of glory that I took home with me. And that was good. I was thinking about what to share this morning. I know we're in Revelation, and we'll continue that. We're going to continue that, but not today. Today is a special time to celebrate what went on in here yesterday. And I wanted to call the attention to something the Holy Spirit brought to my mind in a little bit of an old word that God had dropped in me years ago around a beautiful passage of Scripture from Acts 3, if you want to look there, and we'll try our best. Baby doll, will you get me them glasses right over? I need to change glasses, and then I'll change again so I can see you. I got to be able to. Ain't that awful? You can tell you're getting old when you need one set of glasses to read and another set of glasses to see. This is a beautiful passage. God has been dropping this into my heart. This has been something that the Lord has been dealing with me about for a few weeks. I've had a couple of conversations with our pastor, and I've had a couple of conversations with Ken, and I'm going to share some things that is important to me today, that I get it out. We have limited time on the earth, and with that time, how many of you knows that time goes quick? Time goes quick. We have limited time. What we do with our time, that's why the Bible, there's a verse in the Bible that says, redeem the time. Take advantage of your time. Be careful how you spend your time. Now, I'm going to say some things here that may be foreign, but don't be afraid of it. Please don't be afraid of it. I'm pretty sure I've had a couple times in my life where I had what I believe was a vision. Don't be afraid of that word. It's a Bible word.
Yes, it is.
Okay? It's a Bible word. Matter of fact, we're living in a day of visions and dreams, according to Acts 2. This is the day we're living in. So I use that word hesitatingly, but I use it also reverently. But I use it in a way that I want you to understand. I had a vision about some people in this church. Okay, and I saw in that vision what I think God is laying out for our church. I discussed it with our pastor, and. Of course, when God gives a direction, there are details that have to be followed after. I'm going to give you just kind of the main theme around it. I shared it with Ken, some things about the vision, which was why Ken stood up here last week, and it was confirmed to me through a conversation with Joey Gregg. Joey called the other day, and he said, Ken did more than give his testimony last week. He taught. That's what Joey told me. And I don't know if how many of you were blessed by what Ken did.
Amen.
It was amazing. Now, I say that, and I got to tell you, it wasn't Ken. He didn't have a thing to do with that. I talked to him several times before last Sunday, and he would say, this is what I feel like I'm hearing God say. And he had blurted out, and it merely confirmed the vision I'd had. And so then, I know that when Ken got up here, he was saying what God told him to say. That leads me to this passage in Acts 3. I want to read it to you. And again, I'm still just bubbling over from them children. I can't get that out of my mind. It was so wonderful. But listen to this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. How many of you have heard me so far? This is important that you listen to me. Okay, we have limited time on the earth, so I want you to listen closely. Here's what I've read to you so far. The lame man was in the right place. He was at the temple. But he had the wrong intentions. He was asking for money. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Now here he was, lame, but he was asking for money. Here's what it teaches us. Everybody say, I'm listening. We most of the time look for the wrong solution to correct a problem we have. The man didn't need money. He needed to be able to walk. When you come to the house of God, don't come with the wrong intentions. You don't come necessarily to get something. You come to give something. Right? There's a deeper principle in this whole story about that. I want to make this statement at this point. I can't emphasize this enough in your spiritual walk. I want to help you with something. Coming to church is a party. It's like a birthday party. It's like a family reunion on steroids. Coming to church. Can I tell you, I got in the truck this morning and pulling out of the driveway, and I dreaded how far it was down here. But you know why? Because I was in a hurry to get here. I just wanted to be at church. It's where I get to hang out with those I love. And the best of all, the one that saved me is here. He designs it that way every time we get together. He said, all you got to do is get two or three of you together and I'll be there with you. It's a party. I can't do without it. Look, one of the greatest vacations I could ever spend would be if y'all would decide to get together every day one week and we could all take a week off and just get together and worship God. That's better than going to the beach. It's better than going to the mountains. What if we just decided, let's take a week off and get together and pray? Would our lives be changed? What would Jesus say if we said, Lord, we're going to take a week off here and meet with you every day and pray and just worship you and celebrate you and we're going to hang out with you, Jesus. Can I tell you, that's the way they did in the Old Testament. They called them solemn assemblies. They called them feasts. And here we are, the redeemed church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And most people come to church out of obligation. May we repent before God of that. The crippled man was at the right place. He was at the temple, but he was looking for the wrong thing. Let me tell you something else. How many of you are listening to me? Listen to this. The lame man saw the right people, but he asked the wrong question. Y'all didn't hear what I said. He saw the right people, Peter and John, but he asked them the wrong question. He looked at Peter and John, who had been, their lives had been changed by the glory of the Lord Jesus, and he didn't ask them a thing about the Lord. He didn't ask them nothing about what was going on in the temple. He asked them for money. I tell you this of a truth, you're human. You're made out of flesh. Most people are asking the wrong question about the problems they have. And the world has the wrong answers. You can only find these answers in Christ, in a deep relationship with Jesus. Are you with me? We're not deep enough. in the Lord. We got to dig the well deeper. I so want to help you with this. Listen to this. Here's something else about just the verses we've read. He had expectations of the right people, but his expectations were wrong. He expected them to help him. Is that right? And he looked to the right people. He was crying out for help. But he identified his expectations wrong because he didn't realize what the real problem was. He had gotten so accustomed with being lame that he thought his need was money. You can get so accustomed to being away from Jesus that you think your problem is something else. You can get so immune to the darkness that's around us that you become a part of the darkness. I have to give you this principle for your future knowledge. Listen to me. Darkness is not prevailing over the earth. Light is being removed. Did you hear me? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not that darkness is winning. It's that light is leaving. I can prove that to you in the Word. That's what the rapture of the church is all about. All of a sudden, all the light is gone. And nothing's left but darkness. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." The only reason darkness is growing darker on the earth is because our light is not shining as bright. So you have to ask yourself, what is the model? What is the standard that you're putting forth? How many of you following me so far? It's important as we go on. I need to read the rest of the passage now. Okay? So let's go back to verse 2. I'm going to read it. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, he was born this way. He was carried, they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. There's a whole study on why that gate was called Beautiful. But he was asking alms or begging of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked alms of them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Do we look like we have money?" That's what they were saying. Matter of fact, here's basically what Peter and John were saying. We're just as poor as you are. We ain't got two nickels to rub together. Matter of fact, Peter and John, I can just hear them going on. "Look, we've been homeless for the last 3 years. We ain't earned a dime in 3 years. We've lived off of what Jesus supplied. Matter of fact, we can tell you, we owed so many taxes we couldn't pay them, and Jesus told us to go down there and get some money out of a fish's mouth to pay our taxes. We're broke. Look on us." They were being honest with him. "We don't have money to give you." But then they went on, and this is what the Lord spoke to me yesterday, verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee."
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
Something started in me with that vision I had 2 or 3 weeks back. Now listen to me. Listen, I got to get this out. So this is as much for me, probably, as it is for y'all, okay? So, but let me tell you, I got to tell you. Some of you know I had a bad diagnosis this past week, and the report wasn't good, and so I don't know what it's going to mean going forward. And cancer's back and all of that, and we got that to deal with. Now watch it. Listen to me. Please, look on me. Look at me. Silver and gold have I not. But what I do have, oh, how I desire to give it to you. Can I tell you some things I have as I stand before you? I have peace that passes all understanding. Because I have the Prince of Glory living in me, I was able to lay my hands on that doctor's hand that was giving me that report. And I said to her, it's okay. She was more bummed out than I was. I promise you she was, precious lady. Now I'm going to get a chance to lead her to Jesus. I promise you that. See, I have peace that passes all understanding. I have a joy that is full and running over. Look at me. I'm just an old wretch. And life's been hard. It's been hard. But it's also been full of victory that I can't even begin to describe. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. He put these things in me a few weeks back, and I didn't know what for, but now I do. And let me tell you what He did for me yesterday. He gave me the opportunity to stand right here with a bunch of little boys gathered around me. And I promise you, every single one of them had tears just a-streaming and dripping off of their face. Ed was up here with me, and he said, I looked down at the floor, and the floor was wet with tears from these little children. And God took me back to when I was a six-year-old boy over here at an old Bible camp in Tennessee, and I walked down. Uncle Roy Redding, he was preaching. He said, Jeff, what can I do for you? I said, I need to get saved. And he said, all you got to do is ask. And I went, God, save me. And the Lord invaded a little boy's heart. Yesterday, I was trying to lead these boys to the Lord. I don't even know if you can hear me on this. But I was looking at their faces, and Roger, honestly, it was like I could have pointed it out. I said, there it is. He ain't even prayed yet, and he's already saved. This young'un just got born again. And I looked into the eyes of another one, and God let me see the instant. I don't have to wonder about them children. Listen to me. I know sometimes kids, they'll make a profession of faith, and they go, not this time, brother. Let me tell you, heaven opened up, and here come Jesus. And them little boys had no other choice but to give their life to Christ. And I know that when I get to heaven, them little kids, oh. So God, let me see that. See, I don't have no, this is my little grandson. I don't have no silver and gold to leave him. I got something a lot more valuable than that. Right today, he's watching his granddaddy stand up here and tell people about the Prince of Glory and that heaven's real.
Yes, it is.
So Peter and John, they said to him, they said, look on us. We don't have no money. What we do have, we'll give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the lame man got up. And guess where he went? Into the temple.
Yeah.
And he was leaping and dancing. I'd give anything if I could dance. I couldn't dance when my feet worked. I couldn't. I used to pray for that. Honestly, I did. I remember a time I prayed and I said, Lord, let me dance like David did. I wanted to do that. And I wanted to do it in church. I wanted people to see me make a fool out of myself for God's glory. I really did. Nothing wrong with dancing before the Lord, by the way. Boy, I have so little to lose now that I can be that honest and say, it's all right. Boy, if God gets a hold of you, just dance a jig right before the Lord in celebration of the Prince of Glory. I couldn't dance when I had feet, and I can't now. But the lame man could.
Yeah.
Think about that. Why did it put in there he was dancing? Was it just because he was healed? No, listen. He had potential in him that he didn't know about. Now that gets me to where I'm at. You have potential in you that you don't know about. And I'm looking at some of you and you're lame and you don't even know you're lame. You think your problem is something else. But it's not. You're just lame, that's all. But your lameness is a pair of dancing feet just waiting to come out. You hear me? And so what I'm supposed to do with whatever, listen, I may outlive all of you. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's right there. I may outlive every one of you. Okay? But I may go in the next little while. And can I tell you, I've enjoyed my time with you if that's what happens. I've enjoyed it. But the time I have left, this is my mandate. Such as I have, give I thee. If you'll receive it, you have to receive it.
Yeah.
And it's supernatural. It's kind of that supernatural thing, you know.
Yes, it is.
It's one of those things where I can say, I'm going to lay my hand here and I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, may the peace that I have pass on to this little boy. May the word that is in me pass on to this little boy. And may it pass on to you. And may it pass on to you. See? And may it pass on to you. And may it pass on to you. And the joy that I have, may it pass on to you. I have something to give you that's more valuable than silver and gold. I have a Savior. Hello? And he's wonderful. And can I just tell you this? You're going to see him in the twinkling of an eye. You better get ready. Did you hear that? I've dumped a trainload on you already this morning if you've heard just anything that I've said. Okay? But I can tell you, as we go forward, I'm going to be passing out the such as I have. Okay? That's if that takes us back into the study of Revelation, so be it. If we have to veer off a time or two, we will. But such as I have, I'm determined to give to you. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Everybody look at me. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to have the depth of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ that I share right now. And I'm looking at you, and you don't have it yet. You're too caught up with this world. It's okay. We're going to get you out of that. We're going to get you out of some darkness and into a little more light. Okay? Here's what it starts with. It starts with being able to come together like we are and celebrate and worship. And it might require us to get together a little more. Uh-oh. It might require us to say, you know what, might need to sacrifice just a little more than I have to the Lord might be church time here on Thursday night. Here's something that the Lord did give me, and I'm going to shut up here. I'm tired. But listen. Yesterday, I sat over there while our pastor delivered two of the most powerful messages you'll ever hear. He preached on the cross, and he told these little youngins, let me tell you, if ever there has been a man anointed of God to talk to children, that man's anointed of God. And I listened to those two messages, and when he said, it's time for Jeff to come, I was almost embarrassed. I was scared. But I got to get up here and share with those little youngins Jesus. And I just got to give them a little bit, you know. But going forward at the Grace Place, when it's my time to share, I'm going to give you a trainload of stuff that I don't want you to theologically debate. I just want you to open up your heart and receive. All right? So here's the first thing that I'm going to give you. It's the first thing, but it requires you to do something. I want you to bow your heads right quick, close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord. And right now, we're going to reaffirm our commitment to Jesus. Because, see, listen, if you've been saved, He owns you. You're not your own anymore. So I want you to just say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm yours. I belong to you. There. Yeah. And now I want you to say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. May your spirit overshadow everything I think and do. I give you charge of my life. Direct my steps. Give me your wisdom. Pray it, right? Now, give me your wisdom. Give me your courage. Remove my fear. And then here's the biggie. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, I will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, heaven heard your prayer, and God will hold you accountable for it. That's just the first thing. Okay? There'll be more in days to come, weeks to come. And if there's a change, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to be presumptuous, and the preacher might take me out back and wire me out after this is over. That's possible. But it's just an extreme possibility. I may call everybody or send out something. Don't we do the messenger thing? Is everybody here hooked up to that? I don't know how it works, but Haley does. She tells me all that goes on. So we might send out a thing on messenger and say, time to report. Because we got something we got to talk about. Okay, that might require another evening. It might require a sacrifice. You say, but I got this to do and I got that to do. There's nothing no more important than learning Jesus. Okay, so if God requires it, I'm expecting you to follow it. Okay, you're going to do that for me. Amen? And it's not for me, it's for Him. Right? But just kind of please an old man. Yeah? Lord, bless this group. And I pray, God, that you'll have your way in our lives. We'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody